Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast, your weekly download on current events, trends, market reports, and community discussions. Join us each week from Tampa, Florida, as we cover all aspects of the produce supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Patrick Kelly.
Welcome back to the Produce Industry Podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Patrick Kelly. That's right. It is Friday, January 22nd, 2021, and we have a live special episode for you today. The United Refresh program has been going on since January 5th, and I have been a part of this program since, I would say, the inception. Now, the cool thing about this is throughout the month, or the last couple weeks, we've had a ton of information, a ton of knowledge, strategic thinking, finding your balance. I mean, everything in between, you know, between even throwing out the bathwater. There is everything in this Refresh program. But today, we are going to bring on Amanda Griffin from United Fresh because we want to chat with her. Now, remember, we're going to talk more about this is her baby, how she procured this, what's going on throughout this last month, what people are saying, and heck, you know me, you're going to see me play a little devil's advocate on why or why not people should be attending this program. So without further ado, we want to bring our fancy sponsor on the line, Amanda Griffin. Amanda, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here, and it's great to have seven of these sessions under our belt to talk to you today.
Seven sessions. Oh my gosh. Like, okay, let's, we got to be real because we talked a little bit off the mic. I have joined a few of them. This last week, I had some technical difficulties with my internet and my provider, so I was not on as much as I wanted to this last week, so I missed a couple of the sessions, but I was heavily involved the first couple. Trust me, I was in January 5th, strategic thinking and planning for a new reality, the January 7th, finding balance, managing remote and in-person work environments for success. Boom, we're going to stop there because that's what we're going to talk about first. We're going to break this down week by week of how it's going, and then we're going to lead you up to the last week of the Refresh program. Now, when I say last week, Amanda, I mean last week of the program, but not last week of learning and bringing on knowledge from United Fresh. Am I right?
You are absolutely right. Definitely not the last of us. So it is the end of the experience of Refresh, but we've got a lot more coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I was going to say it can't be the last from United. You guys have been around too long to keeping content coming out. And that's what 2021 is about. It's about being consistent. Someone used the word flexibility. I'm using the word consistency for the 2021 year because I believe everyone needs to stay consistent from what they started in 2020. And this needs to move through 2025. I don't look at a year goal. I look at 3 to 5 year goals. We put out KPIs, the same thing with probably you, United Fresh. You're not just looking at 1 year at a time. You're looking at multiple years at a time. So let's talk about this, strategic thinking and planning for a new reality. Now, I jumped into this and I remember we had some fun in this first one because, okay, let's go back to Julie. She had me cracking up, okay? Amanda, I remember watching Julie and she was talking, she was hosting it out. And when we broke out to our breakout rooms, she was like, go, get out of here. What are you people still doing here? Get in your breakout rooms. And I'm just sitting there laughing because I'm just like, does this lady know that she's pushing a lot of some temperaments around? But she was so active that it made me be engaged more. I'm going to be real. It did. It made me laugh and go, all right, let me get out of this because she obviously doesn't want me here. She wants me in a breakout room.
That's right. Yeah, Julie is so much fun to work with and so fun to learn from. She makes learning fun and active and engaging. And I will say she, in my opinion, the perfect start to set the tone for the Refresh experience with talking a little bit about our conversations that she had in the 2020 year during the pandemic, but then really to forward think ahead on that particular strategic thinking thought process, and then to break us out into those groups and get us all talking amongst ourselves. And I do have to admit, I saw your square within the Refresh session and you definitely were laughing quite a bit throughout that session.
I definitely am vocal and I give facial expressions. And if you notice, I'm always using the reactions on Zoom. I'm always giving thumbs up. I mean, one thing I was taught, especially being at the college, I talked to you a little bit about this off the mic, that when I worked for Hillsborough Community College as an adjunct, we went into this world of being on Zoom and seeing people as well. And it's funny because we were like, listen, you got to have your camera on. You got to be interactive because people, it's just like being an audience. You know, you feed off of your audience. You feed off of what is going on. So it's always great to have your camera on because that speaker's looking at everybody. And when they see a smile, when they see that thumbs up, heck yeah, they're going to be like, thank you. You know, all right, I'm doing something here. I must be doing something right. So now it was good. And then looking at strategic thinking, this is what I'm going to tell everybody. When you look at this program, you can't look that you're just going to get an answer from United. This is not a silver bullet approach. And Amanda and I are going to talk a little bit about that because this is a forward thinking approach. This is success for the future. So when you look at strategic thinking and planning for a new reality, we're not thinking about today. You're thinking about the future. So that made me think, and I was like, you know what? You're right. So I started talking with my partners and my businesses, talking about we really need to focus on how we strategize for Q1, what we're going to do for Q2. And it made me think about not just putting the plan together, but rethinking the plan that I already had in place.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was a lot about, because I think, you know, going into the session, you would think there was some strategic plan already put in place by the end of 2020 for what maybe 2021 could look like. But I think what Julie did was make folks rethink that and just think through, you know, are they on the right track and what needs to adjust and be switched. And as we know, there's a lot of gray as to how and when 2021 will shake out, but it's beyond that. As you've said, it's in our pre-chats, it's 2022, 2023, and heck, 2025. So
I told someone in 2020, they said, you know, how's this year going to, you know, sorry, 2020, geez, that was last year, 2019. I told them 2022 is going to be a good year. And someone told me, what are you talking about 2022? And I said, because I'm working my plans that it's not going to be next year, that I'm working for 2 years from now. So I'm setting up success for then. And then like 2020 put a pivot in everybody's toolbox to now we pivoted a little bit more. Now I'm sitting here going, yeah, 2020 is going to be a really good year. Like regardless, I know food service is still down. I'm talking very optimistic, everybody. I'm a very optimistic person. My glass is always overflowing if you know me. But that's just how I think because I'm not discounting the negative, but I'm filtering it in a different way. Does that make sense?
You know, it does. And then it lends me to feel that maybe I'd love to know your thoughts on some of the sessions did lend itself to having a little bit more of the looking back on the 2020 and not as much of the rose colored glasses. And I know when we talked about teeing up Refresh in our first interview together, we talked about how we were going to keep that part at a minimum. So we were going to keep that at like a low percentage and keep majority of it, the looking ahead part. And so I would love your thoughts on that part.
Now, I will tell you, because I got to play the devil's advocate, there were some sessions we'll talk about in a minute that were a little drag, but we'll get there. We're not going to go too crazy, but we will get there. But let's move on to Thursday. We had finding balance, managing remote and in-person work environments for success. And I remember right off the bat hearing a couple of the speakers, and I can't remember if it was Susan or if it was Loretta, but they talked about that in, you know, in-person work environment and how they shifted so quickly. They were, you know, people were able to shift so quickly from being in person and going to an office every day to being able to be remote. So that right there showed me that we are able to change and adapt. So when that, I say when that, and I said this on another podcast, is that when you have your, you know, your HR interviewing someone and they're saying, oh, you know, 50% travel time, 20%, you know, office time. Well, now people are going to say 40% home time. And that's not going to be looked at like, what? It's going to be like, yep, understood. It's going to be part of the plan, right? It's going to be part of that.
It is. You're right. And then even if you recall, even Kevin mentioned how they were able to very successfully quickly, and it must have been some real quick ordering on this, get laptops and get the equipment needed for their staff to be able to do that remote work almost immediately so they didn't lose time within their operation. So yeah, I was amazed at the flexibility they all already had in place or the quick thinking to get everything back up and running.
All right, Kevin, I do remember that. Was Kevin the one stealing all the Google Chromes from the school districts? Because our school district couldn't get that. No, but there was a lot of school districts that couldn't get their Google Chromes in. My wife's a teacher. We had laptops. We had it all very quickly as well. And that's what's so interesting is, you know, I'm gonna throw this out there is that, you know, I co-authored the book Millennial Boom, and I talk a lot about technology in the workplace. And people always used to tell me how controversial my book was because they're like, what's that statement? You're biting the hand that feeds you, because technically baby boomers really control a lot of look at our country, our politics, our businesses. I mean, baby boomers are still very active in today's world. And I'm sitting here talking about baby boomers and people are like, man, you better be careful. But then look how a pandemic completely switched that. And it went positive to where people weren't negatively going, what are you doing? You're working at home today. What are you doing? Just doing nothing. You on the golf course, you're playing video games. No, now it's like they saw how people are able to have a work-life balance, manage their families, manage their kids, both remote and in person. And, you know, when they say becoming the new normal, there's no new normal when you accept change into your life every day. It's not called a new normal. It's called change, everybody. It's just one of those constant things that always happens in life, just like a light turning from red to green.
Yeah, no, that's right. And, you know, the other piece to it that I thought was interesting from that session was the panel started to discuss a little bit about the recruitment side and how it opens up a new avenue for them, knowing that the person doesn't have to live down the road from the office anymore. And so the opportunity, so I'm going to do your, you know, glass half full here, but the opportunity in the recruitment side for them to bring on folks that might be more qualified that aren't necessarily local because of the confidence in the remote work environment.
Oh, it's so true. I mean, you're 100% right. And I think that as we develop this new work-life balance relationship with everybody, I think that everybody's getting a hold of it in a different way. But I think some people are struggling with it. Some people are adapting to it very well. And I believe that it's just a future that's going to come more and more. If we set the success factor today, when the alpha generation, which is our kids, Amanda, our kids, right? You know, it goes alpha gen, and then it goes Gen Z, then it goes millennial, then it goes Gen X, then it goes baby boomers, and then the silent generation. If we are to promote what's good today to them, that change will slowly come out over time. And when they get into the workforce, that is the normal to them. That is the thing that they are going, oh, wait, this is what we've been taught. This is what we've been doing. Instead of the comment of sit there, do what you're told for 20 years and you'll be just like me. No one wants to be just like you. We want you to be you, everyone. I mean, that's the goal here. So let's look at this. Let's fast forward, because that was a great session. I will tell you that right now. That was a good session. I loved that session. I was popping in and out. You did notice that, because a couple of my popped in, popped out, just because I had other meetings and other things to do. But there were a lot of good nuggets out of those. I'll tell you what, those were probably the two of my, they got me kicked off. And I think you saw some of my social media posts that you guys kicked me into gear just from those first couple shows. But now we're going to go into the third one, okay? And listen, no one likes to talk about this. We're going to throw it out on the table. Managing food safety through disruption and crisis. Oh my gosh. This was such a exhilarating, I would say, event. If you can tell in my voice, if I'm being sarcastic or not, I'm sorry.
I sure can.
I'm so sorry, but I had to throw it out there. I mean, it's what food safety is, right? I mean, you know, despite the global pandemic, I mean, there's so many challenges that probably food safety professionals had to keep focusing on during this time. But gosh, I just feel that food safety, we need to do something to elevate the excitement of food safety, Amanda. I think we really do.
Yeah, no, I agree. But here's the thing here. So I think with the 10 sessions with Refresh, and some of them are a bit more topic heavy. And I think this is certainly one of them. And, you know, I popped into a bunch of the different breakout rooms during the interactive portion of the session, and they were lively and active. So I think what you find is, yes, the content itself may not be as flashy as maybe some of the others, but it definitely got some folks talking. I'm open to ideas on how we can make some of the food safety education we have. And maybe we start off with a little song and dance ditty before each of them. Now, I kid, but I do mean the
fact
that-
No, I'm with you.
Yeah. 100%. Well, And so that's why I don't want to discount the purpose of the existence of this session, because I do think that what we found, and as you know, we had two different ways of folks to be able to purchase their experience here. One was the overall package, but then the other one was the one-off purchases of the sessions themselves. And I tell you, this was one of the highest purchase ones. And I think it was because for the individual session purchases. And I think it's because it was dialed into food safety. And it was just what the folks that do the day in and day out needed to hear. But then you may have some folks that purchased a package that this may not have been their favorite session.
Yeah, no, I agree. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't my favorite session, but there was learning experiences out of this. I was able to talk to a few different people. I was in a couple of breakout rooms as well. I mean, again, I love listening to Dr. Jennifer McIntyre as well. She's a wealth of knowledge and it's always great to hear. It's just, this is a lot of technical details. This is a lot of things that's paperwork, very black and white. I mean, let's be real here. It's like pass or fail, you know, this is what it is. And, you know, to be in a food safety, I would say role, you got to be one of those analytical, you know, very strict people to say, no, this is our program. We have to follow this because one, people could die if we don't do things right. I mean, heck, go back to the 2007 Jensen case, right? I've talked about that on my podcast with the Listeria, the melons. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen. So it's a very important topic, but I agree. One thing I was talking to Mary about off the mic was I was like, man, we got to do something. And she was like, what do you think? And I was like, you know, remember in United Fresh Live before all your sessions, you put that pre-introduction, you had some music going, and then it's like, boom, Wednesday, January 13th hit for adjusting for changing shopper behavior. And you had like that intro in the front that had the refresh, it had the music going. And then all of a sudden it was like, hey, welcome, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, here we go. I'm like, you got me excited. I'm not just, you know, listening to the bland talk. It was like, let's get you elevated and boom, let's get into the session. So I believe everything's a learning experience too, Amanda. I mean, no one's going to do things right the first time. And we talk about this. Failure is only failure if you're deciding not to move forward. But success is, you know, success and failure is when you move forward. That's what it is. So as long as you're moving forward, you're succeeding. It's easy to just give up and say, you know what? It didn't work. Let's just trash the whole program and never do it again. That is failure right there. But when you pick it up and you do it day in and day out and you stick to your schedule and you promise and you always deliver. You ever seen that Stork movie? It was like, always deliver. We're always delivering, right? So that's what I think is valuable here, that we're delivering on a consistent basis. And let's move into that. Let's move into Wednesday, January 13th, adjusting for changing shopping behavior, the dynamics of sales and marketing. Now, this one I was on and off of. I was very busy this day. So I'm going to let you jump into this one a little bit more about, you know, these changing behaviors and through the pandemics. Walk me through a little bit about this one.
Yeah, well, I will say that this one was the content from this session came out of a study that Karen and Adam did together, and they did a presentation. So it was a bit of a different structure than our normal refresh session, where it's the speakers are large and in charge on the screen. Rather, there was a slide deck with facts and the ability to ask questions of Karen and Adam. And I'll say that this one, the breakout rooms, their lively discussion actually was a lot of questions just back to the study itself. And so I think one of the lessons learned on this one is maybe a couple of nuggets shared ahead of time to the participants so that they could dial into the study and come prepared for questions during the panel itself. So you say lessons learned, keep going forward. And this is one of them for us.
So during this session, there was a couple of cool things that I looked at with dynamics of the, you know, sales and marketing and the insights. I mean, these category partners explain the dynamics, shopper behaviors, you know, how the media is consumed and trusted. I mean, all across the board, we look at history, we can use history to help us, but it never defines our future. So how do we attract and keep, you know, fresh produce and marketing in the sales strategies and in, you know, in the upcoming years to come? And that's, like I said, I keep going back to it, future success, future moving forward. And then, like I said, that brings us to that sustainability aspect, that sustainability, building and rebuilding initiatives into your operation. Heck, that goes back to talking about history that we were just talking about, is that building and rebuilding. Am I right?
You're exactly right.
So sustainability, let's talk about this. Now, this one was different. Now, you got to help me out here, Amanda, because I have no idea who Shelf Engine is. That was new to me. I didn't know who Shelf Engine was. They were the sponsor for the event. We had a couple cool speakers. A couple companies I didn't know. I don't know some of these companies. I mean, I know Baldor Specialty Foods, but Black Gold Farms, new company I had no idea about. Bondaloo, had no idea about. So now I'm going to jump to a networking side. I just met new companies and found out new organizations that were in the industry that I had no idea that were here before.
Yeah, you know, and that is one of the goals of Refresh, was to really get everybody in front of folks and meet new people, because heck, we have not left our computers in quite some time at this point. So I'm glad to hear that you were exposed to some new companies. And really, what I found fascinating about this session in particular was the fact that, you know, sustainability has been a strong initiative. And for some folks, for quite some time. And so for some companies, it's sort of something they're still dabbling with. But when the pandemic hit, it was survival mode rather than focusing on some of these initiatives. So we wanted to be mindful of that in this session to say, listen, some folks never stopped focusing on their sustainability issues. And then other folks had to put a pause, you know, and maybe even backtrack on some of their progress just by, I mean, if you think about the packaging side of things. And so we wanted to really focus on, well, what's next, you know, and how do we keep some of these initiatives moving forward at the same time, what's been going on during the pandemic and in 2021 on those. And one of the things that we found was we had to kind of go back to basics in the beginning to talk about what sustainability encompasses. And that's what Nikki, our moderator from Measure to Improve, what she was trying to do was in the beginning, just lay out the landscape and say, you know, here's what sustainability is for our industry, and then dialing it into what's going on with the panelists.
Very true. Very true. And that leads us, you set that right up to lead into the next session, which is creating flexible supply chains to withstand future challenges. Everyone, we've talked about future this entire time we've been talking, and now we had a session that was creating flexible supply chains to withstand the future challenges. And that was sponsored by Robinson Fresh, an old alma mater of mine. I used to work for Robinson Fresh for a couple of years. But it was nice to see, you know, from the fields all the way to, you know, to food service operations, how can we create new change? I know for United Fresh, I remember Mary Coppola said, you know, in one of the events that flexibility is kind of the 2021 word of the year, which is flexibility. And I think that everybody's becoming more flexible in what they do, how they do it. But what can we do not to stop something like this from happening again, but to withstand future challenges, to help our supply chains out? The last thing I want to see, and trust me, I'm going to say it, episode 3 or 4, Shay's going to kill me for this. I think it was 4. Shay Myers was on talking about how much onions were being dumped in Idaho. I don't know if you remember that, but there was like 40 million pounds of onions dumped. And, you know, Shay was on the New York Times talking about this. And okay, stop. How do we fix that and withstand that for future challenges? You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I think this one, and what we'll find, and I'm sure you're about to weave this thread throughout, but what ended up happening on this is food service became a topic, obviously, because we're talking about the adjustments and the changes. And then, you know, those, especially that provided solely for food service, adjustments and we can do to prevent a big shutdown like that happening in the future from their supply chain side. So that being said, food service ended up becoming a topic of discussion. And if you tried to shift away from it, I feel like we just kept coming back to it, because it, what did folks to stay afloat during that? And then what are the takeaways of that that we can use to plan and build and strategically plan, to your point in the beginning, for the future? So I really enjoyed diving into the breakout rooms with the attendees on this one, because it was fascinating to hear what folks are already doing. And then to hear folks, and this is one of my favorite things about Refresh, is to hear the attendees learning from each other and taking key initiatives and learning from each other and keeping those communications alive post their experience with us. And so it allows them to go on and have their own relationships with folks and build them out, because they met them in a session.
Yeah. And a lot of these sessions, it's kind of like, let's go back. Some of these sessions are very personal because you're getting to get in breakout rooms. One thing I've told a lot of people is that how we're developing ourselves, how we're connecting with people emotionally. I would never have met a lot of these people if I was walking the trade show for Amanda. I never knew what you looked like until, United Fresh Live in June. I heard the name, I knew, then we connected on LinkedIn. But it's so funny because if I was walking a trade show floor, am I looking for Amanda Griffin, right? Or am I trying to find the buyers? Am I trying to find the sales? You know what I mean? It's just one of those aspects that I believe that this shifted the mindset to now connecting with all levels of the industry. We used to think that just the buyers and the salesmen were in control and the presidents and the directors had control. We realized in 2020 and now moving into 2021, being January 22nd, the last week of January is coming up. Oh my gosh, already, is that we learned that everybody in our business is important. Every single person, from the packer, from the forklift driver, all the way up to the president, from line workers, every single person in our industry was not as important as the other. Everybody played a dual role to move their companies and our industry forward.
That's right. And on top of that, we're a resource for each other. I mean, it's how much more I don't know about you. I mean, you're on the phone or Zoom or whatever a lot as well. And I feel like I have learned so much this year with one-off conversations of folks within the industry of not only learning about what they're going through, but what other folks are going through. I feel like in a year where we could have shut down and sat in isolation at our desks, the virtual opportunities, if you took them, allowed you to actually connect more with folks and folks, like you said, that you wouldn't normally talk with. And I could toot the horn of United on meetups that we did throughout the pandemic, but I don't mean just that. I just mean, even if you're in a webinar setting, and you start chatting up in the chat box. So it's not even one where your video's on. I mean, you're meeting new people that way too. So if you took the opportunities, you actually expanded your network a little bit more so during the pandemic by nature of the fact you weren't interacting elsewhere.
I'm going to jump into that. So yes, that's what I would do. And people, listen, everyone, don't think that going in the chat room and saying, hey, everyone, good to be here. Here's my name, my title, my information, my company. Don't think that you're spamming the chat room. That is you throwing yourself out there on a limb. There's no difference than walking up to Amanda or myself in person and saying, hi, my name is, right? I mean, there's no difference than that. So it's just a different platform to be able to be used. So let's get into this a little bit, because I know that you brought up the food service. I feel for all of our food service partners. And this is one thing I'm going to say. I realized that in 2020 that our industry used wholesalers to sell their fruits and vegetables more than probably grower, packer, shippers actually sold direct to retailers and the actual consumer. Would you agree or disagree with that?
From my perspective, I would agree.
Exactly, our perspective. So if you have a different perspective, we're not saying everything, we're just saying what we've seen. And what I saw was, again, I mean, talking, you saw I had Stephanie Katzman on the line. I've had... who else? Another wholesale. I've had Brent Aaronward on the line. I've had Tony Stokerski on the line from Hardee's. I mean, think about all these companies. And as I'm talking to them, they're talking about Indie Fruit Company. Hold on. I had to throw that one out there too. My bad, Ross. I forgot about you as one of my wholesalers. But you could look at these wholesalers and they're the ones talking about being in all these different states, you know, servicing all these retailers. Yes, a big part of their business was the food service industry, but we use these wholesalers to be able to distribute our products. And Katzman said it, Stephanie said it. She goes, when I can go and have Driscoll's and Chiquita or Del Monte and all these different big brands, and I'm able to distribute, the grower looks for them to for that support. And then the wholesaler looks to the community for the support. So we're all working together, but then we did see that really, really big upset in the food service industry because of the restaurants, because of the hospitality industry. Heck, I'm here in Florida and I can tell you, I live in Tampa, right on the water of Tampa Bay. I see the cruise ship lines, right? I can tell you that it went from like moving in and out to docked, right? I mean, everything was docked. I mean, I was in Miami just a month ago and seeing all the cruise lines docked, right? It was crazy. So when you're looking at this food service and rebuilding the restaurant and hospitality sector, listen, we can't be down anymore, everyone. There's a lot of downtime. And I know in this last, the Saving the Food Service call or the session, you know, it kept getting to that point where it was kind of like, you know, woe is me. Listen, everybody, there are a lot of channels of success out there. I'm going to throw mine out there. I have the FlavorWave Fresh app with Michael Chavez. We have a direct-to-consumer app. You have to constantly be building to build a better tomorrow. You have to. You can't sit here and say, well, this is what happened. You know, Armageddon came. Well, guess what? Armageddon happens all the time. It's about how we deal with it and how we decide to move forward in humanity, as a community, as people. We can't stay locked down forever. And guess what? If we are to stay locked down, let's make the best of it. 2021 is the year for fruits and vegetables, Amanda. We need to get on the horse and start promoting.
You know, I could not agree with you more. And in relation to this session, what I think what you saw on the, you know, when people were kind of getting a little down in their conversations and whatnot, is the direct reaction of being able to put people in a room for the sole purpose to talk about food service. And by nature, if it was a rough year, it's going to get a little down. And as you know, the focus was to look ahead with Refresh. So this was a harder session to do the whole push, let's look ahead. But I think there's a bit of humanity in that. So I feel like there was a little bit of, yes, it was. And everybody commiserated. And then you had Dan Simons, who popped in. And I don't know if you heard this bit, but he popped in and was like, hey, listen, look at Australia's numbers right now. And Open Table had put out some numbers from Australia, and they are skyrocketing far higher on the food service side than what they thought. So he said, you know, all hope is not lost. He was like, because right now, if you talk to some people, and this came up in the session, you talk to some people and it's like, well, will restaurants ever get back to where they were in food service and all of that? And there's a lot of trepidation and a lot of, well, maybe not. And so what Dan was saying is, you know, maybe the sheep are all following that direction, but don't be the sheep. Just say it. We're coming back and come back strong, and everybody's going to go back and go back to restaurants. And yes, that's the glass half full back piece, but it's there were some nuggets in there that shined a little bit of light on the positivity. So I think you had a little bit of the humanity of cutting and people talking and just talking numbers of how it affected them. But then you did have looking ahead piece.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to let you take that one because I only caught a little bit of it. Like I said, I had some technical difficulties this week with it. Hey, I'm glad I mentioned Indie Fruit Company Expel, because Steve Grind said, you know, obviously the CEO of Fresh Edge was the moderator to that group. So we got to give the shout out to Fresh Edge as well. They're doing a lot of good things. I know this is kind of off topic, but, you know, they're bringing a lot of new, I would say, more wholesalers under their belt. You've seen that they're building and growing very fast. And that's an example to look at. And I know that Steve was rebranding. I say rebranding, but kind of refocusing people when it was starting to get a little bit down. But I agree. Listen, it's okay to talk and grieve, right? And that's one thing we teach our children, right? We want to teach them to grieve and then move on. One thing I can say is 2020 is in the past, and we need to look towards the future. So this is what's going to get even better, is that we still have one more week of Refresh. Okay. Next week, we've got two sessions. We've got three sessions.
Three.
Right?
You have three whole sessions.
Oh my gosh. Three sessions. So three sessions next week. Okay. You've got Tuesday, January 26th. You've got online produce sales, creating new buying experiences. Definitely get on that one. I will be on that one. I'm going to make sure that I'm talking about the FlavorWave Fresh app. I'm going to be sure to talk about direct-to-consumer apps in this new process, because we have to come out with channels and new channels. I see my girl Gina Garvin, the VP of Commercial Development and Analytics for Robinson Fresh, is going to be moderating that. Gina and I worked very well together at Robinson. One fun fact about Gina, she's probably going to hate me for saying this. She's a huge, huge Halloween fan. Her and I decorate our houses. We always talk about this when we work together. She's a huge Halloween fan, everybody. She's going to kill me for telling everybody, but shout out to Gina Garvin as well. And then moving to January 27th, we have Building Success, Adopting Diversity and Equality into Corporate Culture. These are a lot of cool things that, you know, we're bringing to the industry. You know, that's twofold. There's a lot of organizations that are embracing diversity, equality, inclusion. Heck, look what I said to you off the mic, Amanda, talking about my culture. What did I tell you? I said, you ever see me at a trade show? And you probably have, or maybe you just passed me, but I'm like, I'm in a blazer, a soccer jersey and probably some skinny jeans and some colorful tennis shoes. And that's part of our culture. That's part of the diversity. That's part of everything. Corporate culture is one of the largest things in this business, because if you don't have that, what do you have? Right? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. And Lynn is definitely, she is passionate and excited to present to our group, and she's going to give us the whys too. I mean, we all know the culture corporate side of the whys and the news avenues as to the whys. We've all heard the whys, but what does it really do for your organization to adopt the diversity and equality and inclusion culture and initiatives? And so she's really going to dive into the successes why, you know, so not just the, you know, it's politically correct too, correct? You know, so she's going to dive into all of these other details that I feel is a spin on things that we haven't heard just yet.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. And I saw in some of the comments that said, you know, 2020 shined a light on the inequalities that still exist. You know, I was talking to a gentleman from another association last week. And it was funny because I asked him a question. I said, hey, have you ever heard of the band Shinedown? And out of five people, only one person heard of it. Amanda, have you ever heard of the band Shinedown yet? No? Yes?
No.
Oh my gosh. It's okay. It's all right. We're going to introduce you. But you know, they have a song called Shed Some Light. And I just think that song really does shed light on any situation. And obviously music to me is everything. Obviously music is my passion. I listen to music all throughout the day, all day, every day. But you know, shedding some light on a lot of these subjects is what we need. And I'll be real with you. And this is something I'm going to throw it on the line. It's not who you are. It's who you know, everyone. So the more you know, the more people you engage with, the more you are going to get out of this industry.
Oh, I could not agree with you more. You're right. It is definitely who you know. And you know, the reasoning I feel behind that, it's not who you know to climb some ladder or to do whatever. It's who you know to expand what you know. The more people you talk to, the more you're going to learn and the more you're going to understand, not just about the industry, but about humankind and as a whole. So I couldn't agree with you more.
Yep. And then let's lead to the last session. Thursday, January 28th, we have self-care strategies for personal well-being in stressful times. Oh my goodness. Are you giving me a therapy session? What oh my goodness. Like, what do we got going on in our last session? I think it's very relevant to today, but talk to me.
Yeah. So I don't know. I may need to get another United Fresh Staff member to do this one so that I can sit back and learn a little bit, because feels like I need this session just as much as the rest of us. This one is one that I'm very excited about. So I think offline, you and I were just talking about how, you know, January you throw in, it's naturally not the most optimistic time for folks' mental health. Throw in a pandemic and then throw in the fact that, you know, it's cold out, not a lot of people are outside, which is the whole natural part of it not being the most optimistic month. So you throw this in at the end of January, at the end of Refresh, and I think it'll certainly help us to walk away. Like you said, we're not going to have all the answers, but help put some things into perspective, help maybe think about different ways that we can approach both stressful times and in general, the day-to-day stuff that we have going on. And Terry, she works directly with the Blue Zone Project, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with, look them up if you're not, but all about communities that create a healthy individual. So a lot of community driven initiatives. So it'll be, I wish I could just sit back and listen and take notes.
Yeah, I'm going to probably sit back and listen and take some notes, check it out. One thing I can tell you is, listen, if you haven't read the book Emotional Intelligence 2.0, go get that book. Okay. That is a good book for 2021. I have a lot of good books for 2021, but that's a good book, is looking at your emotional intelligence, understanding your mental fitness. There's a lot of things out there that you need to do. And I think this will be a good one. So as we lead up, we're going to close January, you know, with the self-care strategies for personal well-being in the stressful times. Know this, everyone, there's always stress around us. There's always problems around us. It's up to you to decide how you want to deal with those problems and how you like to deal with that stress. You know, it's like my wife always says to me, you do it to yourself. You put the stress on yourself, right? And it's so true, because as humans, how do we get this stress out by talking? You know, what do? We talk to other people about our stress. We tell them our problems. We say, what's not working for you, right? Guess what? These are going to be strategies we're going to build a better tomorrow. And guess what? We're going to do it together. I'm excited that I've been a part of United Fresh for this entire month. Having United Fresh as a fancy partner on the show has gained tremendous ability for me to look towards the future. Amanda, if anybody needs to get a hold of you, talk about signing up for these next three sessions for next week. How can they get a hold of you and United Fresh to do that?
I would love to be in touch. So yeah, you can reach me either on LinkedIn. So just look me up on LinkedIn, Amanda Griffin, or you could send me over an email at agriffin, so G-R-I-F-F-I-N, at unitedfresh.org. If you have any questions about Refresh, if you want to get signed up for the last three, or if you just want to talk, because like you said, Patrick, we all have to connect.
Yeah, very true. And again, it's not who you are, it's who you know. We are here reporting live. We will be here every single Monday for the rest of the year. And heck, if we get a few more sponsors on board, we might up this to 2 days a week, gaining more content, more availability, and more knowledge for the produce and supply chain industry. And as I say, we'll see you in the fields and on the horizon.
Thanks, Patrick.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast with Patrick Kelly. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Anchor to get new, fresh weekly episodes. For more, please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at the Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.